All right, welcome everyone to a brand new Cancel Look Ball on peoplesinternetradio.com. I'm Stephen Roberts, and I have a new time, a new date, a whole new outlook on everything. People's Internet Radio, Facebook, life in general. I'm not going to take a lot of the social media and a lot of the government to a certain extent. I'm not going to take them seriously anymore because they really aren't serious things. By now, people are coming to the realization that, social media is not actually social. It's a controlled entity. I just popped up with something that was thrown in the Skype chat, and I'm going to check this out. Lies, slander, defamation, and libel online. Posted by Lori, May 3rd, 2016, 2032. If somebody has made untrue and derogatory remarks about you, your children, or your business on Facebook, you have the right to defend your reputation under the Defamation Act 2009 by making compensation claims for defamation on Facebook. That is such a good thing. And I'm going to pass that on to a friend. So, because she is actually being, her name is being slandered. Her name is being defamed. Allegedly, through these kangaroo courts over here in America anyways. I'm not sure how it is all over the world, but she's being told by lawyers that she doesn't have any, there's nothing anyone can do. I've always thought for a long, long time, a lot of famous people in the entertainment business, whether it's music or celebrities, movie stars or whatever, they get defamed a lot. Their character gets slandered, and for the most part, it's normally business as usual. Nothing can be done, but I've always wondered why. Somebody who's very, very prominent, they get slandered in ways with photoshopping or just lies being told about them. Whether they're lies or not, you know, that's between them and their conscience. A lot of times they seem to be lies. They seem to, yes, I am going to read it on air. I'm going to read it some Vin and make some comments and stuff like that. And I'm going to pass it on to a friend also. But she is being harassed for the better part of, 15, 16 weeks now. It's really changed her life. It's really almost destroyed her life. Myself and her husband and a few other people are sticking behind her, trying to encourage her, but she's thought of committing suicide because of this quite a few times, from a man that she thought was her friend, was actually working with her and doing some things. I'm not going to name any names on air right now because there's an ongoing investigation, but this man is the one doing the slandering and defaming of character. He's an American. He also has dual citizenship in Australia. What he was doing was some video stuff for her, making commercials and making little trailers for books and stuff like that. She's an author. And he was doing some things for her. And one time, he was doing a lot of things for free, as a lot of us do, that are trying to get some recognition in that. And she actually commissioned a job for him one time, and she paid him $500 for a trailer for a book. And he did a good job. And I don't know if it was a mistake or not, but she asked for another trailer for a book and didn't offer any money or anything, and he wanted compensation. So I don't know if he thought he was all special big time producer or director or something like that, and he was going to get paid for everything from now on, but he felt slighted and jilted and started to attack her on the internet, on Facebook, all the other social medias, and took it upon himself he was going to bring her whatever kind of career she wanted down. And a lot of us didn't really think it was right. Some people did support him, but a lot of people have been supporting her. So we have it all documented, and apparently some of this cyber stalking is against the law over in Australia. Maybe he doesn't know it, but he's done some things that, according to Australian authorities, are against the law, and he is looking at some jail time for these activities. But the problem is, he's over there in Australia. They know where he lives, but they need an IP address. And he's using these little hacker tricks to falsify where he's appearing to come from. He's over in Australia, but he's using the internet to make it look like he's here in America. And according to these courts and according to these laws, they have to have his precise whereabouts. Otherwise, they can't, they can't issue a warrant. It's really a shame. I mean, you can look at someone, you can look at where they're standing on this, on Earth, but you have to have proof on a piece of paper. Go figure, anyways. But I'm going to continue on reading this, what Lori posted a little while ago there. Before making claims for defamation on Facebook. Before making claims for defamation on Facebook in Ireland, you need to have evidence that the untrue and derogatory remarks were published on Facebook. Well, that should not be super hard. You wouldn't think, anyways. It is not sufficient to have heard third hand that a party wrote something uncomplimentary about you, rather than assume that a screenshot is sufficient evidence of defamation and speak with a solicitor about what you require to support your claim. Kind of sounds a little bit familiar about the knowing where someone is standing but needing proof of it. Kind of like in the case I just spoke of there a minute ago. So a collection of screenshots would be advisable, I suppose. The nature of the derogatory remarks and the damage to your reputation they have caused will be primary factors considered by a jury if your claim goes to court. The length of time that the remarks were in public display and the number of times the remarks were shared will also contribute to how much compensation for defamation on Facebook you are entitled to. The nature of the libel. Oh, wait a minute. I lost one there. Sorry, I was scrolling up and I scrolled up too far. If the derogatory remarks were made by a person or persons with significant influence in the community, they may also be required to pay punitive damages. Punitive damages bear no relation to the damage your reputation has suffered. But it's a financial punishment against the guilty party to make them think twice before posting untrue and derogatory remarks in the future. That's the way I had always thought it should be. That should be the correct way to go about doing something. So many times over the past decades and hundreds and even thousands of years, people seem to have a lackadaisical way of taking information. People, so-called civilized people, and I do use that term loosely, civilized people will take whatever information is said about someone else. A lot of times it's untrue and maligned information, and they will take it at a face value without investigating it, without looking into the matter. I remember one time, it's been about a year and a half ago now. Yes, please go hit that donate button if you like what we're doing here. But I heard Vince say over a year and a half ago, and I made a meme about it. I made a Photoshop meme and put it up on Facebook and Twitter, I think. And it goes something like, condemnation without investigation is one of the highest forms of ignorance. I kind of added on to that in the world today. And I believe it is. To lackadaisically take information to be true is a horrible thing that people all over the world have done for a long, long time. Maybe it's just the added controversial way to do something, but it is a form of a rhetoric. You know, just because somebody says it up on a TV screen or in print, in a book or in paper or on a social media, on a computer screen, that doesn't mean it's true. I don't know how much I want to get into this, but I think I have a decent idea on what this blog is actually talking about. I'm not going to say any names because I think a lot of us have a good idea on who is being talked about in this blog. And I don't really need to say any names because a lot of us know what has been happening for, well, probably going on at least 5.5 to 6 years now. I don't really know how long it's been, but I know it's been a long time. I know Vin and a lot of others have been dealing with this. You know, there are solutions, and I hope that the court system would be a solution. Oops, hang on a second here. No, you're right. I just checked those, the Skype going off there. People are probably hearing my mobile Skype going off in the background there, and it is. But I was hoping that something like this might come along. I've always heard from a long, long time when I was a little boy that, you know, if you slandered somebody or libeled somebody, you could take them to court, receive punitive damages. But a lot of police won't even do anything, or a lot of these so-called federal agencies won't even do anything because we're just regular people, I guess. I don't know. Regular, common people don't get the same treatment that the elite people do. The people that are supposed to be special. These people that are in the entertainment system, they don't really want to be maligned or slandered or anything like that. These people do think they're special. They think they should be held up and above us common people. And I can only speculate that that's one of the reasons why the court system does take care of this way. Someone slandered or libeled or defamed, they can be taken to court. It's also a double-edged sword. You know, there are too many people that will just do what they're doing, make up lies, slander and libel and defame just because they think it's funny and just because maybe they think they were slighted. Maybe this this celebrity or politician or something like that didn't really smile or shake their hand or give them any kind of a notification. It is a double-edged sword, just like I mentioned, you know. And it seems sometimes that celebrities want their cake and they want to eat it. They want this adulation, but they don't want to reciprocate, maybe. So I don't really know what goes into people's minds, why people slander. But it happens. I'm going to put a little song on here and come back with some more. So I just wanted to say I hope people, it seems like people are coming into the chat there since I've come on air. Maybe they're listening on the Facebook app or something and they hear a voice instead of music. I know sometimes I do that. I don't really pay attention to the music and I got the stream low in the background there so I can hear something and I'll hear somebody talking and I'll stop what I'm doing and see what's going on. If somebody's doing a ninja or something like that. But this is going to be my regular night, everyone. Tuesdays from 9 to 11. I hope we can get some more people come in before me and after me. It would be nice. we need more support. We need more hosts. And I have been told that we do have some more hosts coming in. We just need get these slots finalized, see who's going to do what, on what day and what time. So I don't know. I don't know what's been updated, but I won't be doing shows on Wednesdays at midnight anymore or Sundays at midnight. It's going to be Tuesdays from 9 to 11. So we'll be right back, everyone, in just a couple minutes. Let me get a good one here. I'll put that one on first. Be right back, everyone. And welcome back after that short little break there. It does seem like we're getting a pretty good crowd in the chat room there. Let me get back here. I'm going to give a shout out to everyone. All's Grand, Bob Keller, Brian, By Paul, Dara, Ian Alone, Eugene McFall, Hugh, John McCann, John McHugh, Little Boss Man, Lord, Lori, Mahatma Coat. Mahatma Coat and my boots. Newman, Noel, Patty Bronson, Pat Velden, myself, Tenacious Teflon to be, tis me, TM, Tony, don't bank on it, and Vin, of course, with the smiley face. Oh, wait a minute. He does have his avatar back now. He's got his Vin B. Sunday picture back up in the chat there. I hope he keeps that. I was getting tired of looking at that smiley face. We get to see his big mug now. Anyways, I want to get back to reading a little bit of this blog. If the derogatory remarks were made by person or persons... I've already said that, yes. The nature of the libel and the extent to which they caused you any injury will be the primary considerations taken into account by your solicitor or by a jury if you claim is heard in court. How long it took to get the libelous comments removed or deleted will also influence how much compensation for defamation on the internet you are likely to receive. I'm not so sure if I didn't read that twice or not, but if I did, I'm sorry. I wonder, do those that appear to have done this realize the position they may place themselves in? Those that appear to have lied, slandered, libeled, and defamed members of this site individually and collectively may be in for a rude and legally expensive awakening. That would be very, very nice. I think a lot of us have gone through slanderous times, defamed times on the internet. There is that argument out there, and it's really a fallacious argument. If you put yourself out there in the public arena, you're supposed to be able to put up with malicious attacks, defaming, libeling, slandering. And if you're in a, I think I just read something here. Yeah, just a few minutes ago, maybe, about a influential position, whether you are influencing people or, you know, whether you're trying to control people, you're supposed to be able to take the defamation. And I don't really see it that way. It is, again, a double-edged sword. If you are influencing people, it depends whether you're truthful or not, whether you should be defamed or not. It really is a double-edged sword. It's hard to say. But just outright lies or things like that should be addressed. I'm going to continue on reading here some more. Perhaps it would be better for all concerned to realize that this sort of poor conduct cannot be allowed to continue indefinitely. Maybe they should ponder on deleting those remarks and offer amends to all members of People's Internet Radio by placing an open and public apology on their social media for a period of no less than 5 days. Once our members see that this has been done, I am fairly confident that this gesture would appease their potential desire to seek costly legal remedy against the assets of another. Now, maybe you are a site member and are not bothered either way, which is fine, of course. I would urge any site member that thinks they may know the identity of such an individual or individuals to keep same to themselves and to avoid speculation. Okay, we've got some screenshots there. again, without saying any names here, but I'm not going to go through these these little conversations between two people. It's not needed. It's on the site, and I'm sure it's going to go out on the email if it hasn't already. But I guess that's going to segue into another part I wanted to get into. Okay. Just been told I can read out some of the screenshots. Yeah, I guess that's not a bad idea. Do not trust anyone, past, present, or future, connected to PIR or the blank. They are people pretending to have walked away from them, but they are liars who are still gathering information for this bunch. Have nothing to do with any of them. Once in, they are always in, no matter what they tell you. Oh, look at this. Look at this. That's just a fallacious way to think about anything. Not even close to being true. No, Vin, just 9 to 11. That is a fallacious way to think about anything. I'm just going to... Sorry about that. That's not even close to being a cogent or factual way to look at something. People do leave organizations. People leave all types of things every single day of the week, and they never look back. I don't know how this man can claim to be the authority on that statement right there, but that's false. And we have another comment. I believe it's a rebuttal, maybe. It's funny that the morons over at PIR do the same to anyone who stand up to them and leaves, or they just don't like. Same formula in the mirror scale. Same formula in the minor scale. And they are basically a cult for knackers and skangers. I don't know. I'm not sure what that word is, but maybe somebody will explain it to me. Skangers. Skangers. Trying to get off criminal prosecutions. They are all on benefits, collect children's allowance, and most of them in social housing, while claiming to want to smash the government. Again, there we have some thoughts that from someone that don't even make a bit of sense. Trust no organization and alternate media. None. Oh, there we go. We got the appeal to authority fallacy right there. Apparently, he is not in the alternate media. He is now in the mainstream. So there you have it. Boycott and all stations, programs she is on. The name was blacked out, so I don't know who that is referring to. Get the cancer out. Whoops, I'm sorry here. I have to go back. Now I've lost my place. Sorry about this, everyone. She used me from the start. I am also going to be blocking anyone who shares any of her links and any shows on People's Internet Radio. Vinny did. So one more, and I might be history. I am part of the Sausage Fest, so I am fair game to these fascists. Okay. Yeah, I kind of figured she was a PIR host. Start with boycotting, and then the name is blanked out, People's Internet Radio and their shows. This is the operations center for which the attacks are being launched. Huh. It seems like the attack started from that party first, and not PIR. And PIR is a front for the IRA-style operation called something, which has been blacked out, who have been infiltrated and taken down alternate media in Ireland since 1890. I kid you not. Well, I would like to see some documentation and verification of this IRA-style operation, so-called, taking down alternate media in Ireland since 1890. So, the last final bit of this blog here says, so, as you can see, some site members were very distressed and disturbed by the comments in the above. The above images are not a sample. PeoplesInternetRadio.com, as always, seek passive solutions. passive effective solutions to all variety of matters that come our way. Hopefully a resolution will present itself in time. We can move past situations such as this. There's a couple of other links there right down below. I'm going to check them out. See what's going on there. Defamation Act 2009. Okay. There's not any one particular section happens to be highlighted there. It's just an entire, looks like a PDF. I'm not sure. I guess I could put another tune on here and look through this. Maybe somebody will give me a message and I can bring up a particular part of this Defamation Act of 2009. And I will do that. If somebody wants to message me on what particular section to go to, I can. So I'm going to put another song on quick and be right back in a few minutes here, everyone. All right, welcome back after that little two-song break there. I thought of a couple things, so I put an extra song on there to give me a couple of extra minutes to look a couple things up and talk about some other thing. There was a aforementioned aforementioned thing from that blog. I'm not even sure where it's at now, but it said something about being a cult. People's Internet Radio being a cult. Ah, here it is. They are basically a cult for knackers and skangers trying to get off criminal prosecutions. I wonder what that is supposed to mean. Trying to get off criminal prosecutions. I wonder if he... Oops. I guess... Yeah, well, I said man earlier, so he is okay. Acceptable. I wonder if he is insinuating that the people at People's Internet Radio are deliberately getting criminals off or trying to get criminals off of, well, let's just face it, the official offer or any other type of judicial system, whether it be people wanting to stay in their homes and not be evicted. That's what the official offer is doing. I've heard many, many times both Ben Gilroy and Vin adamantly oppose anyone that is trying to deliberately get out of paying their mortgage. I think Ben said it on air on a mainstream radio program one time. He said he would not help anyone if he had found out that they were deliberately trying to renege on their mortgage. It's quite understandable that many people do come upon hard times, lose their job or whatever the case is, lose their income. They need help. I don't believe it's a luxury to have a roof over your head. I believe it's a right. I don't believe that it's a luxury or a privilege to have clean water, clean food, and shelter. I think it's a right. And I would debate anyone on that. I know that there has been some authoritatively known people in the past that say fresh water and fresh food is not a right. It's a privilege. No, they're wrong. And also, having a shelter over your head is a right. It's not a privilege. And I think I would debate anyone on that. I don't care who they think they are. Pat says, OO is a legal determination. Yeah, well, I'm not going to say what he says after that. That's it's too early in the evening over there for that still. The kiddies are still up, I think. But a cult. Well, let's see. Let's just break that down here anyways. I went and searched up the word cult in the Merriam-Webster.com dictionary. Cult is a small religious group. That's not totally true there. It doesn't have to be religious. A small group that is not part of a larger or more accepted religion and that has beliefs regarding by many people as extreme or dangerous. Is People Internet Radio, do we want peaceful solutions and do we want peace and do we want shelter, clean food, and clean air and clean water? Well, I believe we do. So I think if those definitions want to be defined as a cult, well, I don't even think it's a joke in saying that it's not. People's Internet Radio is not a cult. A lot of us are free thinkers. We do like to break things down. I like to break things down and, see the deceptions, see the manipulations. So clearly, Merriam-Webster here has a little bit of a fallacious way of thinking in this definition. Another part of this definition is a situation in which people admire and care about something or someone very much or too much. That's kind of a fallacious way to looking at something too. I care very much about my mother and father, and I don't know if it's too much or not, but I don't have a cult belief in my mother or father. I care for them, but I wouldn't follow them into a burning pit of lava or anything like that. I wouldn't follow anyone into a burning pit of lava. Not by choice, anyways. Another part of this definition, a small group of very devoted supporters or fans. I think that's just a whole bunch of rubbish there. Just a fallacious way of looking at any type of situation. But what do I know? I'm just a simple man. A formal religious veneration to worship. A system of religious beliefs and also and ritual also. Its body of inherence. I don't believe that People's Internet Radio is a religious belief, and I certainly don't believe it's a cult. So, I have to say that I disagree with both Merriam-Webster.com and the man that's been slandering People's Internet Radio for quite some time now. It's just a ignorant way to look at almost anything. And that's all. Wait a minute. How can PIR be a cult? Pat says. How do you hold people on a radio? Well, yeah, that's true. That's true, Pat. We just have to speak our minds here on the radio. And this has been bugging me because this man has been slandering PIR and Vin and everyone here and even past hosts. I just don't see how there can be any truth in anything that he's saying. This little show here is just to try to reveal some of these things. I don't know if I guess I could cut this out of here and make a little video about it, or somebody can. It doesn't matter. If somebody wants to do that, I will pass them the file. Or if they're recording on their own, it doesn't really matter. But, these things are all up for debate. And I'm trying to break this down into debatable facts. But, anyways, I also, when I looked up the definition for cult, I seen the word indoctrinate in there somewhere. So I wanted to bring up also Merriam-Webster.com definition for indoctrinate. The simple definition, it says, of indoctrinate, to teach someone to fully accept the ideas / opinions, and beliefs of a particular group, to not consider other ideas, opinions, and beliefs. Well, let's just take that little definition there, the small definition, or the simple definition of indoctrinate, with the case at PIR and the official offer. To teach someone fully to accept the ideas. Okay. I think we are trying to teach people that listen to PIR and anyone else that happens to run shows from People's Internet Radio. If they're being rebroadcast somewhere or they're being put into YouTube videos, we are trying to teach people that it's not a privilege to have a home. It is a right. It's not a privilege to have access to clean water and clean food and clean air. It's a right. So, you know what? One could almost say that we are trying to indoctrinate people at People's Internet Radio, but in a good way. I think, you know, somebody might try to argue, but I think they might just throw out another slanderous lie, another defamatory lie, if they tried to debate that fact. We at People's Internet Radio, maybe we are trying to indoctrinate people that it's not a privilege, it's a right. So I think maybe, just possibly, People's Internet Radio is guilty of that. I don't know. Maybe somebody can put in the chat there if I'm wrong there. If I'm wrong, tell me so, please. I don't believe I am. I'm going to go on with this indoctrination. Indoctrinate. Full definition of indoctrinate. To instruct, especially in fundamentals or rudeness. I'm not sure where that comes in at. To imbue with a usually partisan or sectarian opinion, point of view, or principle. Yeah, there's another listener that says not indoctrination, but information. I know, I was just teasing. I was being facetious out there, listener. So, I know we're not trying to indoctrinate anyone. I was just being facetious. But, anyways, we are at the first hour here, so I'm going to put another little short song on here and or another song and get on with some more thoughts and some more of the show. We'll be right back again, everyone, in just a few minutes. All right, welcome back after that short break there. I am sorry about the song. I totally forgot what was in that song, and I forgot about the lyrics, and probably not all that acceptable for for still being a little bit early. Just past 10 p.m. over there in Ireland and Scotland and UK. I know that song would never be acceptable on any sort of mainstream radio there, but I've been taking songs like this and putting them into a collage and using them for my workout songs. I was, a lot of the times I would be listening to podcasts from anyone, John McCann or Vin or Sherry or anyone else, Pat. I would listen to them, and I was getting a lot of good information as far as listening material, but I wasn't getting a very good workout in. And oddly enough, songs like these get me all riled up, and they get me worked up. So I've been using songs like this in my workout ethics, and it's been helping. Workout's been getting better, and trying to gain some more stamina. I'm trying to get healthier, and I have also started trying to eat better food. I know that's a little bit of an oxymoron over here in America, with almost everything that you can buy in the store is poisonous and not good for animal consumption, let alone human consumption. But I am trying to get further away from processed food and bottled water that comes from the mega corporations that don't really have my best interest in hand. And I do want to get supplements. I do need to get some good vitamins and maybe some magnesium. I want to get a hold of Clive DeCarl again. I've tried maybe a half a dozen times to send him another Skype request to get back with him on Skype, but I don't know if he just doesn't want to connect with me again, or whether he doesn't know where the Skype contact's coming from. That I don't know. I would like some help in getting in contact with him again, because I do want to get some more supplements and get back on some better, healthier things. I just did turn 52, less than 2 weeks ago now. And, unfortunately, this last week, I think it was last weekend, Saturday or Sunday, I think it might have been Saturday, I lost a friend I'd known about 40 years, I think. I used to play a sport with him when I was a young boy, 11 or 12 maybe, probably 12 I think. I also knew him from school. He was just a couple of grades behind me, a couple of years younger than me. He had just turned 50 not all that long ago, and he died. He was also a neighbor. I'd known him for a long, long time, and he wasn't seriously overweight or anything, but, well, I mean, not more than 100 pounds overweight, but he was overweight, maybe, I don't know, 60 or 70, somewhere in there. I mean, that's still pretty heavy, but he was taller. He was about 6'2", so he could carry extra weight better than shorter people can. He had had some sort of heart problems a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, or 6. But he had an operation, and things seemed to be okay for a few years. And then 2 weeks ago, he had another, some sort of a heart operation. I haven't even heard the whole story or anything like that yet, so I can't make a comment. But 2 weeks ago, he had something else done at the hospital, and he was having complications for 6 years. 6 years. Sorry, 6 days. And last Saturday, he passed away. And I know too many people that are very, very close to my age, and they seem to hit, you know, mid-40s or over the age of 50, and they're not taking care of themselves, and they're having problems. And I'm not in the best health myself, so I do know that something needs to be done. There's another broadcaster out there. His name is Clyde Lewis. He's right about my age too, and he's very, very heavy, over 100 pounds overweight, and he's had a heart attack, and he's had some operations and stuff like that. You know, I've never talked to the man, but I was on a network shortly with him, and just after he had his problems, and you know, he needs to think about that too. I'm thinking about it, so I have a chance to do something now. I've cut down my schedule a little bit, and I'm going to start doing some more exercising, some more things to get some weight off, and some more things to make my heart stronger. None of us are infallible. None of us are immortal. It doesn't take but a second to have a heart attack and die, or a stroke, or something like that. Not but a second. None of us are guaranteed another breath. And, you know, it makes me think. It's making a lot of people think. I do want to. I'm still looking. I'm still talking to people all over the country, looking for alternatives, looking for solutions, you know. I know the solutions out there, and I don't believe that they're in the supermarkets with the canned and boxed foods. I just don't believe they are. So, everyone, I'm going to put another song on here and go take a nature break and come back for some more. We'll be right back, everyone, in just a few minutes. All right, and welcome back after that little break there. Yeah, I got messaged there early on in the show, and I totally forgot about it. But I said if anybody, I am welcoming anyone if they'd like to come on air and discuss anything. I know it would be a little bit hard to call my Skype number, and I cannot even recall what my Skype number is right now, but it's only good for America. But the Skype contact is Super Big Bad Man 1. I've just put it in the People's Internet Radio chat there. Anyone is welcome to come on and talk about anything. Talk about the subject matter at hand or any other thing. More than welcome to. But I thought I might address a little more about the blog that went up earlier. I don't really know what the motives for this attack is. I know that there's been an ongoing attack on Venn for a long, long time now. From the original Tyrannosaur Radio people. I guess maybe I shouldn't have even said that, but I know Venn's been dealing with that for a long, long time. And, you know, I support him, and I support a lot of people that have sticking with People's Internet Radio. I'm trying not to contact a lot of people that have left recently here. I've got my motives. There has been some, there was a lot of deceptions that have gone on in the last few months here. And that's really bugged me a lot. Trying, you know, I'm not going to name names. There's no need for that. We're all supposed to be adults here. And sometimes I can use that term loosely. Allegedly, we're supposed to be adults. A lot of people are of an age to where they should consider themselves adults. But whether they're acting like adults, that's a different thing. To act like an adult and to be an adult are two different things. But once again, if anybody wants to join me on air, they're more than welcome to. Just send me a message either on the People's Internet Radio chat or send me a message on Skype if you do have me on Skype. There are some things, you know, there are still a lot of things I want to talk about. And I thought I might play that 11-minute video that that John McCann played on air on Saturday night. I don't really know if everybody is in the chat right now or listening to the radio right now that was listening on Saturday. I know it's not the best of videos. It's the audio. I can actually turn that up, so it's not going to be a bother there. But I thought I might play that video again and maybe discuss it a little bit. So I got to find it here. Give me a few seconds. Sorry. Here we go. Yeah. It's the Luke Ming Flanagan video. Luke is a member of Parliament for the European Parliament for Ireland. And he made a little video, and I thought I would play it again and discuss it afterwards. So here we go, everyone.
I'm on my way down to the reading room, the TTIP reading room, where I'm going to get to view three different consolidated texts, this is their idea of democratic oversight. The texts I'm going to view, they have already been decided on by the United States and by the European Union, and now I get a chance to read them. And it's important to point out that all I do is get a chance to read them. I get a pen with paper that they provide me with, and I have to take down the details. I'm not allowed to bring in a camera to photograph the documents. I'm not allowed to bring in a tape recorder to record reading them out. All I'm allowed to do is bring in a pen and to write it down. And I have to say, from my experience of trying to write for a long time in the Lebenscert, people like me aren't very suited to this process, but it is a bit of a joke. But just to add to the farce that it is, the commissioner in this area has said this is the most open agreement of all time. So I'm going to head down there now. The three documents I'm going to have a look at today are public procurement, EU first offer to the United States, a draft proposal for an annex on medicinal products in TTIP, and the third one is tactical state of play of TTIP negotiations March 2016. Now, anyone who's gone in there before, those that I've talked to, they've said they come out none the wiser. Who knows? This is really just a test run, and we'll be going in again and again over the next few weeks on issues to do with agriculture and many other areas. So, I'll take you on. Hi, how are you?
Hello.
What exactly is the procedure?
You must leave your mobile telephones and electronic devices in the cupboard that is there.
I must leave it where?
In the cupboard. I'm going to come.
Oh, I must leave these in the cupboard, you do?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
Come with me.
And
in this cupboard, I will keep your mobile telephone.
Are you going to lock it in here?
Yes, it's going to be locked during the consultation. I will remain with you during all the period of the consultation.
You will remain with me during all the period of the consultation?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
There is still one little document that you should sign before you come in. Is the security briefing form. We have not yet received it from you.
Mm.
If you don't mind, please.
No, Grant, yeah. Well, I do mind, but a bit like if someone had kidnapped my children, they put a form in front of me and said, sign it or you'll never see your children again. I've been told, sign this form or no MEP will ever see these documents again. That's what gangsters do, the mafia does. But then again, it is a bit like the mafia, isn't it? Anyway.
It's the instructions we have.
Oh, I fully understand. And thank you for cooperating in this, because this is a very important exercise for democracy, so that people actually know how this works.
Yes.
I am now signing to say I will not tell the people who elected me in detail what's in this room. Because otherwise, every other MEP will be denied access to this room. And I repeat, this is the most open trade agreement ever, ever.
So please come with me. So it's here on your left. Please come with me very quickly because otherwise the alarm will
go off. I have to do it quickly because...
Otherwise the alarm is going to...
The alarm is going to go off. And what happens if the alarm goes off?
If the alarm is ringing,
yeah.
The security comes.
And the security comes. And what happens if the security comes?
They want to know why the alarm rings.
Okay, all right.
So we must go into the room.
We have to go in very quickly.
Yes.
In case anyone who voted for me might see something they're not meant to see. It's very interesting.
Please.
How could you not want to be part of this union? Wouldn't you be crazy not to be? I've got another solemn, it seems like a disgusting use of the word solemn, but a solemn declaration to sign. And as I explained earlier, I can only take handwritten notes. But it appears now that if I write down the documents verbatim, and then I make their contents known verbatim, I will potentially prevent any other MEP ever seeing these documents again. I am allowed to disclose the documents to you and to people in my office, but not to anyone else. I've asked the question, how accurate do I have to be, or inaccurate do I have to be with my transcription, not to be breaking the rules? And that's what I'm trying to establish now, because you're allowed to take handwritten notes, but if you take it down word for word, type it up and make it available to the public, then this process for other MEPs, it sounds like it's finished. Now, I've asked for clarification because I understood, flawed and all as it was, that I could go in with my pencil, as Bertie Ahern called it, and I could write the whole thing down. But I am not allowed to accurately write it down. So as an MEP, I'm being asked to do a dodgy job of transcribing this, and then that'll be okay. I've also been told that I can tell it in my own words. Well, if I choose that my own words be identical to the words on these, I'll have broken some law. Welcome to the European Union. Welcome to the heart of Europe. We're at the heart of Europe now. I can contact Bernd Lang, and
yeah,
he's a member of the European Parliament. He's a member of the Socialists and Democrats.
Yes, I think so. And
he's a socialist and a democrat. He'll definitely, he won't go along with this, will he? He'll disagree, will he?
He's the head of the...
So Bernd Lang, who was a socialist and a democrat, If I go to him, he will tell me that there's no problem writing down this verbatim and publishing it, no?
He discussed the rules.
He will tell me, as a socialist and a democrat, that it is against the rules for me to go in and accurately transcribe what's in these documents and then give them to the general public. He will tell me that this is wrong and he doesn't agree with me doing it.
He will explain to you the rules that
okay.
are established here in the parliament.
Okay. All right. Well, given that I'm not allowed to accurately transcribe them, I'm probably wasting your time, and I'm certainly wasting the time of the 124,000 people who voted for me and pay my wages. So I suppose next stop is Bernd Lang, because, as I've said, he is a socialist and a democrat. Surely he wouldn't have any truck with this, would he? He won't agree with it. And interestingly, I did make an attempt to leave the room. I have to say, this... You're a lady. You've been really good throughout this process, and you've went along with it, maybe put up with it. But the remarkable thing was, if I had left the office that I went into early, and I'd opened the door myself, I would have set off an alarm, and the security would be coming to get me.
Yes, that's the rules.
Amazing.
The rules.
And Jean-Claude Juncker, he's heavily involved in a state that is involved in tax scams. And there's no security going to come and get him. Ah, well, sure. That's it. Listen, a pleasure. Thank you.
Bye.
It's been an education. Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Hello. Hello. I'm looking to talk to Bernd Lang. It's about TTIP. I'm an MEP. I've just been down to the reading room and to try and take notes on three documents.
Are
I was looking
you
to see.
A video?
Yeah, and we're filming the whole process of how it works.
Oh,
okay, great. Yeah.
All right, and that's the end of that little video there. I guess the comments I was going to make on that, there's been something else put in there. Yeah, I guess I will make the comments on why I played that video and what it means to me. I seen that video just before John McCann passed it to me last Saturday. John played it on air. He wasn't able to hear it through my system. What the reason that was, who knows? It's a hit or a miss whenever my guests can not hear it. Yeah, yes, I will, Vin. I just seen it, and I just brought it up, and I will comment on that, and I'll read it after I get finished with this. But that video with Luke Flanagan, the Member of Parliament for Ireland in the EU, he was basically told, if anyone doesn't really understand what that video was about, he was basically told that he would be allowed to read it, but he would not be allowed to take any sort of recording device in there. He would not be able to take his cell phone in there to take pictures of what he was reading. He would not be able to transcribe word for word what he had read. But apparently, or allegedly, however you want to think about it, that is what the EU, TTIP, I haven't even looked into what TTIP is, but I think it's probably some sort of a policy that's coming up, or some sort of a agenda that's coming up. Maybe if somebody would like to, give me a link to what this TTIP is. But Luke, he had to be followed into that room by the woman he was speaking with, and she had to watch him to make sure he did not try to break any, well, I think he characterized it as laws. They wanted to make sure that he was not going to reveal what was on those papers. He was being censored. He was being gagged. They told him that if he did try to reveal anything, what he had read, no other European MEP would be able to read it. Kind of like, I don't know, maybe this is a Mission Impossible thing. If you choose to take on this mission, it will, and you try to reveal anything, it will self-destruct. I don't really know what the, you know, I don't know why they would want to censor an MEP, but let him read it. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. Why would they even bother somebody that, that they think has some sort of moral fortitude? Why would they even bother showing it to him? Why don't they just fake his signature like they do a lot of things and go behind the people's backs like they do a lot of times? I don't know. That's just an interesting video. That's just an interesting concept. That whole, you get to read it, but you don't get to tell anybody what's in it. That's kind of a little bit of standard operating procedure for governments all over the world, or governing institutions, as the EU is. But anyways, I am going to put one more song on, and then I'm going to go look at what was passed to me and what was also put in the chat room there, and look it over for a couple of minutes and talk about that on air. So we'll be right back again, everyone, in just a few minutes. All right, everyone. I think I'm probably going to make that the last break for this show here. I've got about 12 minutes left in the show. So I was passed. I'm not going to worry about TTIP on this show here, unless I just totally run out of things to say here in the next, I don't know, 8 or 9 minutes, somewhere in there. But I was passed something else. It's another part of this smear campaign from at least one individual. But it says here, there is something amazing about smear campaigns. People are so easily spellbound by them as if they want to be. This guy is claiming to be an authority, and you know, his penmanship and his grammar need to be looked at. So if you're going to claim to be an authority on something, at least look into proper penmanship and proper grammar to possibly give the impression that you know what you're talking about and you're not a complete fool, allegedly anyways. I would never call anybody a fool unless I actually knew them and knew what they were talking about. But I don't know. Anyways, let me get on with this. I know that's a form of ad hominem attack there, but I'm sorry. A lot of this stuff bugs me. I'm going to continue on. It is not so much that the smear campaign works, but that the people who spread the smear campaign want it to work as a kind of self-determining dissociative personality disorder. And here we go with the multiple PhD in psychology and sociology with his authoritative speaking with the big words in that. Anyways, they split their minds into two partitions, the one that believes and spreads the smear campaign and the part of their brain that knows it is, excuse my language here, bullshit, and they are doing something wicked. But they are somehow blameless, as it is the dissociative part of their cognition is performing the wickedness. And here again, being presented with the presumed authority on the subject with his thread, his response. In most cases, they may even like and have been treated with respect and kindness by the person they are destroying. But that is not the point. It is in rush caused by the dissociation that they really want. Into how the cults and people of low intelligence love and spread smear campaigns and do not care if they are true or not. They just want to enjoy the destruction of someone else. The energy created by this hate storm is like a drug they get high on. I wonder if he has even remotely looked into the fact that he is doing a lot of the smearing with these Facebook threads. I don't know. Maybe he's not smart enough to realize what he's doing. Maybe he's not as smart as he thinks he is. I don't know all this yet. I don't even know the man. Yeah, never mind and read it. I understand, John. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention to the chat there for a few minutes. I was looking at this response. Anyways, this is an interesting conundrum. He has posed up. He has driven out there in the social media. The way I understand it, he is the one that started attacking first. He's the one that started smearing first. So how, logically, can he claim that he is being smeared? Ven hasn't smeared him. As far as I know, this is the first time he's ever even addressed it. I know he said a few things on air sometimes, but, that's for him to say. Oh, yeah, okay, there's no need bringing that link up again because that's what I just read. That's what I just looked at. But, seems to be that he's trying to play the scapegoat here. He's trying to play the victim. That sounds mysteriously like the sham victim. The sham victim will start attacking something and then claim that he's being attacked. That's what the sham victim is. Very, very mysterious there. I wonder, being the learned man that he is, I wonder if anybody's pointed that out to him. Probably not. Maybe somebody should get on that. Maybe somebody should point that out to him. He's playing the sham victim. It seems, anyways. Since he's the authority on psychology and sociology, he might want to address that claim right there. I don't know. But everyone, I've got about 5 minutes left here until 11 p.m. It's going on 6 p.m. over here in America, in the East. So I've got just one single song to finish out here. This is basically the end of the show here. So thanks for it's been a pretty good crowd up here. There's still 25 people in the chat. That's some good numbers for me to end up with on a show. I know there's been some times at 2 a.m. when I get done with the show, there's only 8 or 10 people around. So I want to thank everybody. All's Grand, Brian, Bipol, commonly known as Mark, Connor, Doc Rock. Good to see you back, Doc. Ian Alone, Eugene McFall, Free as a Bird, Hugh, John McCann, Little Boss Man, Lord, Laurie, Mahat and my coat and my boots, Newman, Noel, Patty Brosnan, Slim Boy, myself, Captain Ray, good to see you in. Tiger Boy, tis me, TM, and Vin. I just got a message passed to me. Would you think they are suffering from some sort of intellectual spiritual disorder? Oh, that's a good one. Well, I think maybe he's bigger than his britches is, or bigger. I don't think he's as big as his britches as he appears to be. I think there's a meme that goes around sometimes that says something like, why don't you try living the life that you portray on Facebook? I know it's quite a funny meme, but it's a little poignant. So I thank everybody for staying out. It's been a good first Tuesday night show. And I hope to do lots of things. I want to shake the stick at the proverbial hornet's nest, if you want. So here's a little bit of a different song to end. I think this suits the man in question that's been attacking people's internet radio. Thank you, everyone, and see you next Tuesday.